leading us in music, allowing PAX to have time off, and we give thanks for you, Justin, for your leadership, and thank you. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it is on page 3 in the New Testament sections. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, I ask in this time that you would remind each of us in some way of our significance in your sight and in this world. Amen. I've changed the sermon title this morning, so I don't want you to get off. I think I get a little obsessed with titles sometimes, and it bothers me when it doesn't quite align, so I'm changing it because maybe it's more important to me than it actually is to you. But the sermon title this morning is called On Being Significant, On Being Significant. So we are now in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a churchy word. It means to reveal or to show forth. It has to do with revelation. And so in the context of faith and in the gospel, Epiphany is about revealing God's purposes, God's divine purpose being revealed. So last week we talked about Epiphany Sunday, which was when the wise astrologers were coming from the east, and they resisted Herod's ways and Herod's brutal ways and followed instead this divine star that led them to the Christ child, this poor child born in a dirty stable. This was God's revelation that this child, these are the kinds of people that where God shows up, the kinds of places where God shows up. And so we talked about that and asked questions for ourselves. How will we follow God's star and God's leading in this season? And we'll have more opportunity to reflect on that today. But Epiphany doesn't end. It continues, actually, throughout this season, and we're still in Epiphany. So we're, in a way, asked to look at another kind of revelation, another way that God is showing or revealing truth to us in the gospel. And so now, in the gospel story, decades have passed, really, since last Sunday. So Jesus was a baby, and now all of a sudden he's a young adult. We don't know a lot. There's not a lot of fill-in for what happened between the baby time and now. But we know that decades have passed. Jesus is a little older. We have a baby right here. I know it's wonderful, wonderful. And don't feel like you have to leave, even if little one is crying. But thank you. We welcome you. And so Jesus was a baby. Now all of a sudden he's a young adult in the story. And now we don't have a star that is pointing to Jesus. This time there is a dove that is descending upon Jesus in his baptism. And the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. My delight is in this child." So this is an epiphany message again, God's word saying, this is my beloved child. We are asked in a way today with a very different story to see the significance of Jesus in God's eyes. Now I want us to pause for a moment to think of the word significant. Significant is defined in Webster's dictionary as the quality of being worthy of attention. The quality of being worthy of attention. Often when we think of people who are worthy of attention, it is because they have done some excellent work, or in my mind, some excellent radical work. They are significant people. I think of significant accomplishments. What you do shows your significance. This is, I must admit, very deeply ingrained in me, and I suspect maybe in a lot of us. What you do, your accomplishments, show your significance. So for this reason, I think it's a bit striking that at the time that the Spirit says to Jesus, you are my child, you are my beloved, you are my delight, my significant person, Jesus has not really done anything. He was born. He was a toddler, maybe menacing toddler. He was a teenager turned young adult. The only action that he has done is that he has gone with some crowd of folk out into the wilderness where there are people gathering who are longing for a revolution. And he's gone out to learn and be baptized by John, who is leading this revolution, who is talking about people about this repentance, about turning around, submitting to God's way. The only thing Jesus has done so far is really to show his vulnerability, to show his need and his desire to have a change of heart through the waters of baptism. That's it. That's all that he's done. His public ministry has not even begun. All that Jesus has done so far would not generally capture what we see as, quote, significant in our culture. To learn to surrender, to be vulnerable, to be human, and to focus on the revolution that must take place in our own hearts, to use the words of Dorothy Day. This is, according to the gospel, very significant. I am well pleased, God says. So what if on this day we were to imagine that it actually doesn't take a lot of action or production for God to claim you or any of us as significant? I came across a Facebook post by a white man, Mark Van Steenwyck. He works for an organization called the Center for Prophetic Imagination, and he said something that I found to be on point. He said, a part of being a white man in this world, in this culture, is internalizing the message that dominance and excellence is a birthright. It's internalizing the lie that I can only earn my place in this world by being amazing. Instead of living up to the American dream, I replace it with living up to radical ideals or the kingdom of God. He said, what I'm trying to tell myself these days is that maybe I'm mediocre at the things that matter most to me, and maybe that's okay. He then said that he's received pushback for saying that, because in his words, I get it. There's a sense in which we all need to know and hear that who we are is amazing and unique. However, he said, I'm working on giving myself permission to merely be adequate. Otherwise, I hold myself to ridiculous standards that I don't hold others to. I appreciate Mark's honesty and the way that he wrestles with internalizing this pursuit of being amazing or dominant or excellent. I do find myself in that struggle too, wanting to be significant, worthy of attention, worthy of love, needing to prove outwardly that I am worthy of attention from God and anyone else. God must love me or be proud of us only when we do excellent and amazing work, all the time. I must be excellent as a parent, as a spouse, as a pastor, as a counselor, as a preacher, as an organizational manager, and on we could fill in the blanks in our lives. Excellent as a caregiver, as a lawyer, as a teacher, as a student, as a lover, as an activist, and an activist for all the right causes. As a retiree, I must be excellent, amazing, prove that we are worthy of God's love and attention. How much do we internalize that kind of pursuit? I want us to think about that. And then in contrast, this kind of striving for significance with God is calling Jesus beloved and significant before he has hardly done anything at all. You are my beloved, not because of anything you do, but because you are my child. Now, I know this is easy to say in a sermon. It is extremely difficult to truly grasp and take in and incorporate into our lives that our significance in God's eyes is not tied to our accomplishments. Our significance is tied simply to being loved by God. This is very difficult to grasp and to know and to learn, this deep truth. But I do think that when we do grasp it, we are able to see our own true significance and the true significance of each other, of one another. Now, of course, I'm not saying that we aren't called to do things and to act. Lord knows that 2020 must be a year where we need each other more than ever to be accountable to each other in resisting the evil that is at work in this country. As the trumpets of war are sounding, violence is escalating, refugee and immigrant and black and brown children just like Jesus, Jews just like Jesus, are under greater attack. We must act, find our places where we are called to work. And I'm not saying we are not called to do those things, but I am saying that we must return over and over again to the waters of baptism, the metaphorical waters of baptism. The waters of baptism are the waters of grace. That is to say, we must begin like Jesus did over and over again by finding our significance in the eyes of God, our worthiness in the eyes of God, not because anything we do or accomplish, but because we are loved. I sometimes think that we think about significance as if it were something that is scarce. Like it's as if we are competing against one another for significance. It's like we think about it like a deck of cards. There's only four aces. There's only a certain amount of people who can be significant. And that if you're significant, that means someone else is not. My success, my excellence is dependent on your diminishment. We live in such competition for significance in our culture. It's truly hard to see the alternative. But perhaps if we can be like Jesus in this story, people who are able to surrender, to submit first to the cleansing love of God that holds us and gives us dignity, not because of our accomplishments, but simply because we are loved, then I think we are more able to let go of that competition and jealousy. Perhaps we can begin to see our own significance in God's eyes and the significance of others in God's eyes. Jean Vanier was the founder of L'Arche. He died just this past May. L'Arche is an international federation of communities, really, where people with developmental disabilities share life with people who assist them and learn from each other. A wonderful theologian and human being, Jean Vanier would often speak about how harmful it can be when we think about significance and value as only a tied to what we can accomplish. What this means is that we then devalue people in our culture who are apparently, quote, useless. He talks about a woman in an interview I heard with him. Talks about a woman, Françoise, who came into their community and was severely handicapped. She couldn't speak. She could walk a little bit. She couldn't dress herself. She was incontinent. She couldn't eat by herself. And then as she became older, she became blind. When a visitor came and saw Françoise, their reaction was something like, what is the point of keeping someone like Françoise alive? And the leader of the house said, but Madame, I love her. I love her. That's all. I love her. So as we look at this year unfolding, maybe some of the most important steps for us to practice are steps that don't often make it to the top of our New Year's resolutions. Steps of practicing surrender to God's way. Practice bathing in God's waters of grace. Receive the news that you are loved. Learn to be vulnerable with God, with yourself, and with others. Focus on the revolution that must take place in your own heart. Even as you work toward change in the world around you and all the harmful systems that we see functioning under this Herod's empire, focus on the revelation that needs to happen in your own heart. This is all, according to the gospel, significant. And you are significant, not because of what you do or accomplish, but simply because you are loved. You are God's child. That is all.
Ooh.